Well, California is home to five remarkable trees. They are the redwoods found along the California coast, which are the world's tallest trees. We have the Joshua trees, an icon of the high Mojave Desert. We have the ancient bristlecone pines, the world's oldest trees. We have the giant sequoias, which are the world's largest trees. And then we have the Torrey pines, which are North America's rarest pine trees. Now, thinking of the redwoods, whose height often exceeds 300 feet, in fact, I think the tallest redwood they have found is 379 feet, the manner of their growth can be quite unique. For example, two trees can grow year after year just a few feet apart, but then perhaps some 50 to 100 years later, they can begin to touch, and this leads to the bark from each tree beginning to overlap. And then after perhaps another century, these two trees can grow together so that they ultimately give the appearance of a single tree. This phenomenon can be seen near Santa Cruz, where there are two trees that have grown at an angle to each other. Contact between them was made at 100 feet in the air, and from that point on, they are one tree. And so what you have is a single top growing from two trunks. Well, Paul tells us, if you'll turn to Romans chapter 6, verse 5, "For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection." The Greek word used here for plant means to become the same plant. And so what Paul is actually saying here is through salvation, we have become the same plant as Christ. And so since we are planted together in the likeness of Christ's death, we will also be the same plant in the likeness of his resurrection. And what a divine miracle of God's grace. And so this morning from Romans chapter 6, I want us to see what results through our being planted together with Christ. What rises through our union with Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection? And what does the power of the gospel mean for us today and for the future? And so point number one, the gospel of Christ gives us power over sin. Looking again at verse 4, as believers, we have been baptized into Christ's death. We have a union with Christ on the cross. By some divine miracle, we have been taken back some 2,000 years and made to participate in our Savior's death and then to be buried with him, burial being the proof of death, and then to be resurrected with Christ for the purpose of walking in newness of life. The Greek word for newness refers to newness of quality and character, which means just as sin characterized our old life, so righteousness now characterizes our new life. And this brand new life is marked by a new heart and a new spirit. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27 tell us, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." This brand new life is marked by a new song. Psalm 40, verse 3 says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." This brand new life is further marked by a new name. Revelation 2, verse 17 tells us, "To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in that stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it." Then in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, and Galatians chapter 6, verse 15, this brand new life is called a new creature. "If any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision worketh, but a new creature." And then lastly, this brand new life is called a new man. Ephesians 4:24, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So what are we saying? Because we have been planted together because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, planted with him, this new man who again has been given a new heart, a new spirit, a new song, a new name, and is now a new creation or creature, empowered by the Spirit of God, is now enabled to do what this man was created to do. And that is to say no to temptation, no to sin. And I exclaim, amazing grace, amazing love, amazing power. Friends, the world can never offer us anything better than slavery to sin, because we have been planted together with him through the gospel, gives us power to conquer, to live victorious. Looking again at Romans chapter 6, we read in verses 6 and 7, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And you can add to that, that henceforth we do not have to serve self. Verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin, freed from self. Peter adds in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, for as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men, but to the will of God. And so, as back in Romans chapter 6, as verse 11 tells us, we can then reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, sin we know is not dead. In fact, all of us can quickly testify that sin is very much alive in each of us. And I add often to alive. No argument there. But because of the power of the gospel, because we have been planted together with Christ, we can now be dead to sin. And a dead person does not yield to sin. And then because of the power of the gospel, we can reckon or count ourselves alive unto God. And it is not that we feel alive unto God, but that we are alive and must count ourselves as such. Remember Paul's testimony in Galatians 2, where he said, I am crucified with Christ, I am dead with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. Friends, that is life. That is being alive. If I can be so dogmatic here, if you aren't living through the power of the life of Jesus, you're not living. You're simply existing. Maybe your heart is beating. Maybe you're able to breathe. But let me tell you, you are not alive. Whatever sin comes your way, whatever temptation comes your way, you're going to yield. Friends, what a sad, sad way to live the only life that you'll ever live. But you don't have to live that way. You can be alive in Christ. So since we have been raised with Christ, as Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, we can seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. We can set our affection on things above and not on things of the earth. And because of the power of the gospel, we can, as verse 13 tells us, yield our members as instruments, as really that word can be weapons, not of unrighteousness unto sin, but we can yield ourselves unto God as being alive from the dead, and our members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Now in Romans 6, verses 13, 16, and 19, the word yield is found five times. and it means to place at one's disposal, to present, to offer as a sacrifice. And Paul describes this sacrifice in Romans 12, 1, where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living what? Sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. And so just as before salvation we habitually yielded to the sins of our unrighteous life, we can now offer the parts of our body to the service and use of God, who loved us and who gave himself for us. We can glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are God's, because of the power of the gospel. Friends, when you're able, because of the power of the gospel, to live, to say no to sin and live unto righteousness, you are living. Now, practically, what does a spiritual yielding look like? What must we do to experience such power, such victory? Well, we draw near to God, and through the power of the gospel and the Holy Spirit, we pray something like this: Lord, identify me with your death until I know that sin and self are dead in me. Let me know that I am crucified with you. Let me say that again. Lord, identify me with your death until I know that sin and self are dead in me. Let me know I am crucified with you. And then what takes place is I enter into the glorious privilege. Remember those two trees that grew together and became one tree, that I enter into the glorious privilege of being crucified with Christ until all that is left is the life of Christ planted in me. I am dead, Christ is alive. And this prayer is to be offered to our Lord day after day. And then after this moral decision to be identified with Jesus in his death, the resurrection life of Jesus invades every part of our human nature, meaning Christ takes charge of everything about you and me. Please understand, when we are dead, then Christ can live. The problem is, we are so much alive that Christ can't live his life through us. And so we need to die. We need again to die to self. We need to die to sin. And when we do so, Jesus then can come alive in us. The problem is we don't like to what? Die. And when we are willing to die and to let Christ live, then he takes charge. You know, when you are in charge, when I'm in charge, things don't go well because we are so full of ourself and so full of sin. And you know, when sin and self get in the way, you don't get along really with anyone, including yourself. It takes the power of the gospel even to say no to sin and no to self. But when we are willing to do that, then Jesus takes charge of everything about you and me. And thereafter, he calls us to walk in the light as he is in the light. And he enables us to walk in newness of life. Life goes so much better. Life is so much sweeter when Christ, not self, is in charge. You know what? You say you're sorry. You know what? You realize it's not what's important to me that matters, but what's important to Jesus and others. Again, God puts the holiness of his Son in us, and now we belong to a new spiritual order. Satan and our old man are rendered powerless, and we live now unto God. We are alive unto God. And the life which we now live in the flesh, we live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us. And the gospel's energy and power, which was manifested in Jesus, is now operational in us by the sheer grace of God. Now, if we as Christians are experiencing difficulty doing right, having victory over bitterness and lust and pride, self-will, unforgiveness, it's because we will not definitely decide who is Lord. Who is reigning over me? Who is in charge? Who has the wheel of my life? Remember, we can't serve two masters, but when we say to Jesus, my Lord and my God, his resurrected life planted in us at salvation comes to life, and we are then filled with all the fullness and wholeness of God. In other words, we walk in newness of life. And again, the gospel of Christ gives us power over sin. When sin knocks on our door, we can say no, for we have been made free from the law of sin. And so I must ask you, as we conclude our first point, do you know of this power? Do you know of this victory? Do you know of this victory over sin? Who is your master? Are you daily growing in this grace? Can you say, old things are passing away? Behold, all things are becoming new. Friends, this is being alive. This is life. This is living. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. Friends, you live when you allow Jesus to live his life through you. That's living. Point number two, the gospel of Christ gives us power over death. Verse 5 again, for if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Here is gospel power at work at what we call the rapture of the church. When the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we, what? Ever be with the Lord. When this corruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. The point here is Christ's resurrection has broken the power of death. For those who believe in him, death no longer is master over us because death is no longer a master over Christ. And remember, we are planted together with Christ. Friends, don't lose the fact that you need to be planted together with Christ to have victory over sin, to have victory over death. Now, certainly death is still present, still an enemy of man, which means it violates our dominion of God's creation. It breaks love's relationships. It causes great grief in the loss of those dearest to us. But as believers, we no longer need to fear death, but it still invades and torments us while we are still in this mortal body. Death always seems to be knocking on the door. God has put eternity in us, and so it is our desire to live, and we work at staying alive. But one day, if Jesus doesn't come back, as we can say in our lifetime, what's going to happen? We're going to die. But we have the hope that even if death overtakes us in this life, when Christ returns at the rapture, all will change. Death will be swallowed up in victory. In fact, Isaiah 25:8 states, he will swallow up death in victory. And death and all of its parent victories will be undone for God's children. As one author writes, what looks like a victory for death and a defeat for us when our bodies die and decay shall be utterly reversed so that death dies an absolute death and our bodies live an absolute victory. What death has done, Christ will totally undo. And there's no one else but Jesus who can undo death. And so we exclaim with Paul, but thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, in our Lord's victory over death, death's sting is removed. It's disarmed. It's destroyed. Death dies. For the believer in the gospel, Christ's power renders death dead forever. And Revelation chapter 20 and 21 remind us of this. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 21, verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Can you and I even imagine life without death? Because of power of the gospel, that day is coming. Again, think of the power of the gospel found in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. And I proclaim what victory giving power. We're talking victory over sin. Sin that is the root of all the sorrow, pain, despair, and death in this world. Anything you can think about that takes away, that steals away life. Culprit is sin. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Sin and death are, because of sin, there is death. But we're talking victory over sin, power over sin, which leads to death. Now let me pause here and say, the CDC data shows that 44% of teens in the U.S. report feeling persistently sad and hopeless. And the reason young people today are told to find their own meaning in life. They're told there are no absolute truths. Whatever you believe, that's good. If it's good for you, that's good. Friends, that's not good. There is absolute truth. You can't find the meaning of life without finding absolute truth. And the absolute truth is that Jesus is creator. I talked about the number of stars. Jesus created every single one of those stars. And this creator, by the way, he didn't just create the stars, he created you. And he came to this earth in a human body to die for his creation, to die for you. To die for your sin, which brings to pass death. He came and he died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried according to the scriptures. And he rose again in victory according to the scriptures on our behalf. And knowing this victorious Savior and his love gives our hearts the meaning and the purpose we long for. I don't care how many degrees you have. It's not the degrees you have. It's not the letters behind your name. It's what's in your heart. And it has to be Jesus, for he alone gives us power over sin and over death. And so we can say with Paul, in considering the gospel, I'm not ashamed of it, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. Friends, since we have been planted together with Christ, we are connected to the omnipotent power of the risen Christ. His power gives us victory over sin. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's victory over sin. And his power gives us victory over death. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And so I ask you, do you know of the gospel? This gospel power that frees us from the curse of sin, from slavery to sin, and one day from the presence of sin. Do you know of this gospel power? Have you identified with Jesus in his death? Do you know of this gospel power that frees you from eternal death? Until you are willing to accept Christ, to let him come into your heart, there will continually be the presence of sin, and what follows is eternal death. Only the trees planted with Christ will never be uprooted. Only they will live forever. I say, let his divine love flow into your mortal body and spirit. And all of this is possible because of the gospel. Let me read about the gospel in Ephesians chapter 1. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, that's sin and death, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. What good news for those of us who are a part of his body. We have been joined together. We have been planted together. And it's no longer my trunk that's going up. It's the life of Jesus. Friends, Jesus is risen. He is risen indeed.